Good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning. And if you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. This nice, chilly, cool Sunday morning. Seems like, fall has arrived, officially. Fall is probably one of my favorite times of years, but the summer is great and all, but I do enjoy the fall and the fall weather. But definitely good to be able to be here this Sunday morning. I want to thank Steve for sharing that communion this morning, really to helping us to center our minds on what Jesus has done for him as well as what Jesus has done for us. You know, it's amazing to think about what Jesus has done in many of our lives, that we would not be here today being able to enjoy our time celebrating the lives God has given us if it were not for Jesus' impact on our lives. You know, today we're going to continue our study this morning from Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to talk about holding to the commands of God. That is what chapter 15, as we will look at here today, is all about. But I want to read a story to you. A father made all his five children sit in a circle and placed the toy in the middle. He told them that the most obedient one of all of them will get this toy. So now all the kids were very excited. The youngest child asked, "What is obedience?" The father replied, "The one who listens to mom and does everything she asks." The father felt good about his explanation. The father then asked, "Now tell me, who is the most obedient?" The youngest one instantly looked at the toy, took the toy, gave it to his father, and said with a smile, "You are, Daddy." So obviously the most obedient one in the family was, at this situation, wasn't the kid, of course it was Daddy. You know, you think about, you know, what is obedience? While obedience, children to their parents, is very good and commanded in the scriptures, what we're going to talk about here is obedience to God. Because when we look through the scriptures, we see the importance of obedience to God. Now, we are a church, we're visiting with us, we are a church that believes in the importance of holding to the scriptures. Because left to ourselves, left to our own feelings, left to our own opinions, then we will not be who God wants us to be. Because God wants us to hold to the scriptures. So today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15 and the importance of holding to the commands of God. But before we do that, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we are so thankful, God, that we could be here this morning. Father, we are very thankful for your word that you have given to us. That, Father, we don't have to wonder or guess how to live our lives. But, Father, you make it very clear to us through your word. And, Father, I do pray that as we study your word here this morning, that, Father, your word would take precedence in our lives. That, Father, we would not give first to our feelings. We would not give first to our desires. We will not give first to our opinions, but Father, we would hold to your word above all. Father, please guide our time together, that Father, as we study your word would speak to each and every one of our hearts, and that Father, we will make decisions to hold to your word faithfully to the very end of time. Father, we thank you so much. Please bless this time as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to be turning to your Bibles, or turning on your Bibles, kind of jumped into this generation. Either turn to your Bibles, turn on your Bibles, as we look at Matthew 15. Last week we talked about Matthew 14, and we talked about stepping out, and how important it is for us to step out of the boat. And maybe that boat is a boat of comfort, maybe a boat of disappointment. But it's one of those things where whenever something happens, there's always that tendency to go retreat into that boat. Especially if we've been a disciple for a long time, there's always that tendency to, if we've asked God for something, and we didn't get what God wanted, what we wanted, to go, you know what, let me just not continue asking God for it, and just retreat and sit in the boat. But last week we talked about how God wants us to not be sitting in the boat, but to step out of the boat and onto the water, because that is where Jesus is, and he wants to take us on the adventure of a life. And so now we're going to continue in Matthew chapter 15, begin reading in verse 1. Then some Pharisees and chiefs of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you said, 'If anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it.' Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled out by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Do you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." You know, Jesus always had a lot to say, which is very good. And here we see the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you know, they come to Jesus. And if you read the scripture, you'll see that they're always coming to Jesus, sometimes trying to trap him, sometimes different questions. But here we see the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they came and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." You know, the Pharisees were a religious sect, highly legalistic, and then of course you have the teachers of the law. They both believed that oral traditions of the rabbis, of course teachers, was just as binding as the very law of God. And so hundreds of religious traditions have been added, and they believed that they were equally important. You know, not all traditions are bad, but of course they should never be on equal standing as the law of God. And of course their concern was Jesus' lack of concern for the tradition of the elders. And to the Pharisees, Jesus was not doing a great job. He was not doing a great job as a teacher because he failed, in their opinion, to teach his disciples the importance of the tradition of the elders. And so they questioned him on the issue of hand washing. And of course, this is not your simple washing of your hands before you have a meal. And we should do that. We should wash our hands before we have a meal. But this is not what Jesus was talking about. This is not what the Pharisees were concerned about. They were not concerned about the spreading of germs. They're referring to ceremonial hand washing, which was a very highly dramatic event and was done more for show. And so Jesus, of course, now brought it back to them. And Jesus said, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" You know, what command was Jesus referring to? What Jesus was referring to was, as we'll talk about here, Corban, which is offering. And anyone who made a Corban vow was required to dedicate money to God's temple that otherwise would have gone to support their parents. The parents here are going, "My goodness." And so you could make a donation to the temple instead of using the money to support your elderly parents. And so this Corban offering made it religiously acceptable to neglect your parents, allowing children no responsibility for their parents. And so although giving money to God seemed noble, many people use this vow to justify regarding God's command to care for their needy parents. You know, it was a command to take care of your aging parents, take care of the elderly. If you don't really think about it, is there really a need for a command like that? You know, if you really think about all that your mom and dad have done for you in your life, isn't there a command that's really necessary? But of course, there was a command. Because people could easily justify it and go, "You know what? Well, you know what? Yes, my parents took care of me when I was younger. But you know what? I remember my teen years, so you know, I'm going to give it some thought as to whether or not I'm going to support them when they get older." And people can obviously use different things to justify not holding to it. And so they must have been excited about this tradition that came out. They said, "Wow, so you're trying to tell me that the money that I would use to support my aging parents, I can now use it to give to the temple instead." And so that was what was happening. So these religious leaders were ignoring God's clear command to honor their parents. And of course, Jesus didn't see these traditions in the same light as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And of course, Jesus, he called them hypocrites. Because sometimes their traditions went against the very heart of the law. And as a result, it said they nullified, they canceled out the commands of God for the sake of their tradition. And that's why Jesus called them hypocrites. You know, in the Greek theater, a hypocrite was an actor. Someone who wore a mask to portray his role in a play. So in this way, one actor can play many different parts. So they didn't have like the the Charlton Hestons or all the different actors we know of today. Some of you are going, "Charlton Heston?" All the different actors you know of today when you watch different movies. Of course, they wouldn't have had probably all those different. So one actor would play many different parts. So whenever he switched his role, he would use a different mask. And so the word hypocrite literally means false face. To have a false face. So of course, referring to wearing a mask. And Jesus challenged these guys because they were not genuine. And you know, you think about it in Matthew chapter 23, you can write it down and look at it another time. In verse 25 to 28, you know, Jesus talked about hypocrites. How they look good on the outside, but on the inside they're full of dead men's bones. And of course, Jesus wanted these Pharisees He wanted people to understand, to make sure that the heart was involved in obedience. As of course Jesus quoted, "People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." You know, when I think about, and I know what Steve shared about, you know, his childhood. You know, my childhood was a little bit similar in terms of religious upbringing. I went to, I grew up going to a Catholic church. We went as a family. We went as a family for not just till 7, we went as a family for a long time. And so we would try to have these religious family nights. And what I mean by that is Thursday nights, we had a little reading from a booklet, and we had a prayer. And I remember at that time, we would do 10 Our Fathers, of course, Our Father, but we'd also do, for those of the Catholic tradition, we would also do the Hail Mary. And we did 50. And that's what I said as a 10-year-old, as a young boy. I was like, well, there's not one enough. God, I know God hears my one prayer, but it said 50. And so we grew up doing that on Thursday nights from when we were young until when I was in adolescent age. We went to church as a family. So my mom and my sisters, we would go to church every Sunday. Finally, when I was about maybe 12 years old, decided to go to church on my own. And of course, that was what I told my mom. And so of course, I love to play sports. So I would say I'm going to church. And I would show up to church for about 5 minutes. And so what I would do, because I knew my mom would always ask me, and also inquire of her friends to see if I was at church, so I'd always make sure that when you go and take communion, I'd always make sure that I'd come and time it perfectly, so when you go up and take communion, that my mom's friends would see me. So I'd always make sure if I were to see them and I'm walking down the aisle, I'd make sure to nod to my mom's friends so that in case my mom was to ask, I'd say, oh, I said so-and-so. I said hello to her. You can ask her yourself. But of course, I was, no one saw me coming in. I was just walking straight into the line. And so after a while, I realized, you know what? This is just not worth it. So as my teen years came, I realized, you know what? Here I am. I'm being deceitful. And then I kept going to church. And then I go to church on Sunday morning. And then I'd be involved in, of course, being deceitful to my mom. I'd be involved in the more relationships later in that afternoon. And then I'd say, you know what? What's the point? What's the point in going? And yet, this is not doing anything for me. This is just wasting my time. So let me not bother going at all. So I decided to stop. So I stopped going to church for years, because unfortunately, when I was going to church, for me it was a religion. I was participating in a religion, I was participating in religious activities, but yet my heart was far, far away from God. My heart didn't desire going, my heart didn't desire doing the things of God, so I just stopped. And I also had some friends. I also kind of had my own classifications. So because I went to church and because we had our own tradition, my friends also went, and I considered them to be, they were more radical Christians. And so I considered myself I'm more the regular, maybe day-to-day sort of Christian, but they're more the serious fanatics. So they would go and, on Sunday afternoon when they came back from church, they'd be quoting all these different scriptures. But I was not impressed, because the night before, when we were hanging out in the clubs, I'll tell you one thing. There was no quoting of scripture going on in the clubs. As well as saying, okay, now this is, and so therefore there's a lot of confusion. I say, okay, here's what's being claimed as a serious Christian. Here's what I grew up in terms of religious tradition. And then I just got away from it all. I just thought, you know, let me just get involved in different things of the world. Again, because all I was doing going to church, it was all lip service. It was not about a relationship with God. It was all about following tradition. And we see here Jesus is not into lip service. God is not into lip service, but wants us to obey from the heart. And Jesus makes clear that lip service is in vain. They don't want to even bother. And unacceptable to God. You know, some questions I want you to think about here this morning is, why do you do the things that you do? You know, why do you do the things that you do? When we do something for God, when we do something for the church, you know, why do you do the things that you do? You know, if you think about it, why did you come to church this morning? Well, someone called me and invited me to church. Yes, that's fine and all. But why did we come to church this morning? You know, why do we help people? Why am I going and seeking a relationship with God? Jesus wants us to understand the importance of obeying God from the heart. You know, Jesus is concerned if we give the appearance of loving God, but don't want to actually be committed to God. Meaning that, like for myself, if we come to church and we're one way, then Monday to Saturday we are someone very different. That our actions should be consistent with our Sunday, same as our Monday, Tuesday, and throughout the rest of the week. But we should never be just committed to religious activity, and our hearts are far away from God. You know, it talks about making sure that we hold to the commands of God, and not to nullify the commands of God for the sake of our tradition. You know, maybe for some of us, maybe we didn't have grow up with religious background. You know, you got to remember, think about these Pharisees, think about these teachers of the law, you know, they obviously had a religious upbringing. But for some of us, we may not have had a religious upbringing. But what we need to understand here is, Jesus is telling them to hold to the commands of God. And he's telling these Pharisees that they nullify the word of God for the sake of their tradition. Again, some of us may not come from religious tradition, but God still wants us to hold to the commands above absolutely everything. For the Pharisees and teachers of the law, it may be their traditions. For some of us, it might be certain religious traditions that we need to go, okay, you know what? I need to put God's word above the traditions. But in other situations, it may not be just an issue of tradition. Because we can easily put aside the commands of God for the reason of man. Because this person said it, then so be it. We can put aside the commands of God for a pleasure. We can put aside the commands of God for sin. We can put aside the commands of God for a relationship. We can put aside the commands of God for ourselves. And that's what I spent enough time doing, putting aside the commands of God, simply because, you know what, if I wanted it, I was going to have it. Or we can put aside the commands of God for the sake of our feelings. Or as we talked about last week, we can put aside the commands of God for our own personal comforts. But if you think about it, or we can put aside the commands of God for being popular. Because you think about, sometimes there's the battle and struggle to do what God commands and not be so concerned about what people think about us. What classmates think, what friends think, but where we hold to the commands of God, regardless of what people think of us. You read through the scriptures, Christians were not the most popular group at their time. But regardless of that, God wants us to hold to the commands, but it's not about being popular. Because if it was about being popular, the scriptures are not going to increase your popularity by holding to the commands of God. But what God wants is us to hold to these commands above all in our lives. But sometimes we might think, well, you know, I know what God says. But you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. And to some degree, sometimes I've thought that. I know God said, you know, I'm going to do things, try things my way. But sometimes we might think, I know what God says, but I'm going to do things my way. Because it's what I want to do. It's what I feel like doing. And if I feel like doing this, and God wants me to be happy, and He loves me, then He knows who I am, and He understands. You know, sometimes we can think that way. You know, well, God wants me to be happy. He knows me. He knows if I have this, that I'll be happy. You know, God will understand these different things. But you know what? One thing we do know is that God does understand. But that doesn't mean that He approves of what we do. He'll understand and know why we might do the things we do. But it doesn't mean that He approves with what we do. Because if He calls something wrong, if He calls something sin, then it's sin. None of us have, at least from what I would understand, none of us would have a heavenly agreement between God that lets you sin and just expect to get away with it. If you do, I'd love to see it after during the fellowship break. But none of us have some kind of agreement between God that we get a do as you want card and just get away with it. God wants us to hold to the commands and not justify why we don't. And here we continue reading Peter in verse 10. Of course, it says here, Jesus called the crowd to Him and said, listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them or makes them unclean. Then the disciples came to Him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And of course, you're not going to hear Jesus say, oh, you know what? I'm sorry they were offended. Because Jesus preached the truth of God's word. But here we see the disciples want Jesus to explain what He means when He says, it is not what goes into a man, what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. And of course, Jesus is going to explain it, but He obviously wants them to pay close attention. Because they were slow in grasping the full message of God. So Jesus explains the heart. He says, all these things begin in the heart. That all these things begin in the heart. You know, our heart reveals who we really are. Our heart reveals who we really are. You know, you think about an iceberg. You know, if you know anything about an iceberg is, you see 10% of an iceberg. So if you were to see an iceberg, you see about 10% of the iceberg. 90% is underneath the water. 90% is underneath the water. So when you see an iceberg, you see 10%. 90% is what you don't see underneath the water. Someone described our lives are like an iceberg. How the outer self is what people can see. So people see 10% of your life. People see 10% of your life. Everything else they know is what you go and tell them. And that's what's important to understand, is that we really don't really know someone unless we're really around them. Because what we see is 10% of them. The other 90% is the inner self. That is the below the water, below the surface, that God sees. God sees the 10%. God sees the 90%. But people really only see the 10% that we show them. You know, what is God concerned about? Well, God's always concerned about the 10 and the 90. But God is concerned and wants to make sure that our outward appearance is consistent with our inward appearance. That our outward appearance is consistent with our inward appearance. Because, you know, you think about life, you know, we could spend a lot of time focusing on the outward appearance. Because we work very hard to keep up with the outward appearance. You know, you think about coming to church this morning. You think about just how, I'm sure, more attention, as always, is spent on getting the outward appearance all ready for church. Or you think about when you go to school, when you go to work. You know, the outward appearance is such a big focus. But what's in our hearts, it's what's important to God. And you think about these different things. It talks about how these things come out of a person, it says here, but from out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, and then the list goes on. It says out of the heart come these different things. You know, you think about that's where sin begins. Because, you know, you really think about it. Sometimes we might say, well, you know what? Someone made me do this. You ever hear someone telling you that? Well, they made me angry. You know, we have control over to whether to get angry or not. That's like me saying, you know, my wife made me angry. You know, my wife, she would, if she had that control over me, she'd want me to do many other things if she had that control over me. If she could make me do anything, she would be making me clean the house, making me clean up after myself, making me chip in around the house more and more often, making me do so many things. But so many times we believe people have this control over us going, oh, well, they made me do this. No, but when all is said and done, these things come out of our hearts. Sometimes there's things that are laying in our hearts that, whether it be interactions or whether it's situations, they just bring to light. They bring things up to the surface that's already hidden beneath the surface. You know, as we begin to wrap up here, you know, what are you like on the inside? You know, who are you on the inside? You know, to get close to God, what's important is that we deal with matters of the heart. Because the farther away from sin we get, the closer we take steps to God. The farther away from sin we get, the closer we take steps towards God. And God knows that, of course, what is in our hearts will determine our thoughts, our plans, our actions. And it will determine the quality of life that God has in store for us. And why does God want us to obey the commands and hold to the commands? Because God knows that the quality of our life will significantly change for the better if we hold to the commands of God. You know, my question as we conclude, you know, do we live our lives by truth? Or do we live our lives by tradition? Do we live our lives by the truth? Or do we live our lives by tradition? Do we have a religion? Or do we have a relationship with God? Or do we deal with the inside more than we deal with the outside? You know, Jesus continually gave himself to the will of God. Jesus set us an example as to how to hold firmly to the law of God. His obedience could not be compromised, while so many attempted to. He was committed to obedience until his death. And we as disciples, those who seek God, that we must never dilly-dally around the commands of God, but we must hold to the commands of God over traditions, over our feelings, over our comforts, over relations, over desires, and hold to the commands of God. And we must deal with what matters of the heart, those that are seen and unseen, so that we can hold firmly to the commands of God, and that God will work in our lives to do amazing things. Amen.